and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness to us. And I thank you that your heart's desire is that your goodness would be expressed through us. And so as we consider now your goodness and this fruit of the Spirit called goodness, speak to us, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen. So when I realized and began studying and praying about this fruit of the Spirit, this result of the Holy Spirit in our life being goodness, a couple of things happened in this past week that made me help me define it. And the first thing when I thought about goodness is I went back to my ethics class way back decades ago now, I'm sad to say, in college. And I remember one story, one situation that we had to debate and decide what was good, whether the thing was good or bad, the decision that was made. At the time, and Joseph Fletcher's book, Situation Ethics, The New Morality, was all the rage and everyone was debating it. And it really is a seminal work for how we decide in our society today about what is good and what is not good and so on. But one story stuck with me, and I think about it on a regular basis, so it immediately came to my mind. Let me tell you the situation, and you decide whether or not what Mrs. Bergmeier did was good or not. Whether it had the fruit of goodness in it. Here it is. It's just short, but bear with me. I want to read it because you got to get the details to get it. As the Russian armies, this is at the end of the Second World War, right? As the Russian armies drove westward to meet the Americans and British at the Elbe, a Soviet patrol picked up a Mrs. Bergmeier. This is a true story. A Mrs. Bergmeier who was foraging for food for her three children. Unable to even get word to the children, and without any clear reason for it, she was taken off to a prison camp in the Ukraine. Her husband had previously been captured in the Bulge and was taken POW camp in Wales, where he was treated very well by the English. Well, that's not in there, but it's between the lines. When he was returned to Berlin, he spent weeks and weeks rounding up his children. Two were found in a detention school run by the Russians, and the oldest, Hans, was found hiding in a cellar. Their mother's whereabouts remained a mystery, but they never stopped searching. She, more than anything else, was needed to reunite them as a family and care for them in that dire situation of starvation, chaos, and fear. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Meanwhile, in the Ukraine, Mrs. Bergmeier learned through a sympathetic commandant that her husband and family were trying to keep together and find her. But the rules allowed them to release her for only two reasons. Reason number one, illness needing medical facilities beyond the camps, in which case she would be sent to a Soviet hospital elsewhere. And two, pregnancy, in which case she would be returned to Germany as a liability. She turned things over in her mind and finally asked a friendly, vulgar German camp guard to impregnate her, which he did. Her condition being medically verified, she was sent back to Berlin and to her family. They welcomed her with open arms, even when she told them how she had managed it. When the child was born, they loved him more than all the rest, on the view that little Dietrich, named after the prison guard, had done more for them than anybody. When it came time for him to be christened, they took him to the pastor on a Sunday afternoon. After the ceremony, they sent Dietrich home with the children and sat down in the pastor's study to ask him whether they were right to feel as they did about Mrs. Bergmeier and Dietrich. Should they be grateful to the vulgar German? Had he done good? And had Mrs. Bergmeier done a good thing? Goodness. What is goodness? What is good in decisions in tough circumstances? The second thing that rattled around in my mind and in my heart when I was thinking about goodness is on Wednesdays, Dave Bertrand and I meet Wednesday mornings for prayer for everybody that we knew in the church and so on. And we spent some time praying for the Bertrand's new grandson, Maria's son, Riley. Riley was born very, very premature. I can't remember how many weeks it was now. Some relative can probably tell me, but very premature. How many?
31.
31 weeks, there it is. And Dave said, you know, I got to hold that little fella. He said, you know when you go down to the IGA and you pick up one of those barbecued chickens? He said, that's what it was like. He said, Maria has been sent home, but he's still there in neonatal care. And Maria has to come back. He said, she comes back to feed him. He said, do you know that breast milk for a premature baby is a different formulation than the breast milk a mother gives for a full-term baby? And I thought to myself, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. How can this be? And so I went out to share this with various people in the office. Do you know the breast milk for a premature? And right away, Kim, our midwife, said, oh, Alan, she says, don't you understand that it changes throughout the time according to the needs of the baby? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. And so I'm thinking about the goodness of God. And then lo and behold, I was doing some reading on Friday, and Ruth comes by. Ruth comes by and says, Alan, Luther really feels led by God to come and tell the story of how God has worked in our lives in this whole issue of cancer. And so Ruth and Luther are going to come and tell their story and the goodness of God in this.
That was a year, and it's almost 20 years ago. Where do we start?
I'm really glad to still be here. So, good morning. Thank you. Okay.
We had a business in Grand Prairie, and we decided that we were going to go work in Dominica, which is one of the islands in the Caribbean. Luther had on his heart to work with the virus fruit trees there. And so we sold everything, and we moved to Edmonton in the just waiting. He had a lump on his head, and we were going to get it taken off and go, okay. Doesn't look out, he'll get another one. and so we went to the doctor, and he said, well, let's see. Let's just take a biopsy, see what's going on here. Inconclusive. So another month went by. Did another biopsy. Inconclusive. Finally did another biopsy, and then the end of May, it came back cancerous. But they said only 2% cancer. This won't be any. It's nothing to worry about. So anyway, there we were sitting in the office, and of course, I instantly start to cry, and Luther goes, no, it'll be fine. So anyway, we had surgery.
I had surgery. We had surgery. Trust me, I think it was harder on her than it was me. Well, it took about a month before I was able to get in. They didn't expect me to make that month. They had given me no time. Basically, wrote me off. They said, if you can walk in the door, there's a chance that we'll still get to do something. Well, I did. I walked in the door. And they were kind of surprised to see me and still see that I was standing. So Dr. Cycli, who is the pro, he kind of got curious about this. He was a very interesting doctor. So I had to tell him that, no, they made cowboys tough in northwestern Canada. And I think now he believes that. But... It was quite it was quite a situation to be in when somebody tells you, you're probably not going to come out of OR, so can we experiment on you? And so I sort of said, well, if I don't make it, I don't make it. You know, my bags were packed. I was prepared to travel the universe. God and I had an understanding. And the part of that understanding was there was some family matters that had to get taken care of. And I'm not a family man. I just really kind of stayed my distance from my brother, and I just sort of done what I thought was the right thing to do, and you know how it is. But this situation brought so much into the light in the family that had to be dealt with, that this is probably the only way it could have been dealt with. It's the only way it could have been done. And not just this, but there was a lot of other things. And it's soft, and to boot, I'm a fairly mild-mannered guy, I have always assumed, but I did I feel I've been softened up a little bit, you know, the old finger got poked into the clay a little bit, and I got softened up. That's the absolute truth. It's been a refiner's fire. And proof is Ruthie's wearing it around her neck. It is the pure gold that they had to take out of me a year after surgery because I didn't need it. I didn't need it.
But the doctors didn't think his eyes would work, his ears would work, and they put a gold weight in his eye. And we went back to the doctor and talked to him, and we told him, of all the people in the world, literally, that had prayed for us and were praying, from China to Vancouver, everywhere, that we had these friends praying for us, and what God had done, the power in God is unbelievable. The first song you sang, it is beyond words what those words mean. It is, God is so good. God is so good. It just brought tears to my eyes. And do we think of that? When I think what we were a year ago and how God has dealt with us through this refiner's fire and brought us out, I was telling Alan the other day how we've been married almost 20 years. This year has been the absolute toughest. And it's been the best because God has brought us closer together, closer to Him. And
very personal. Very personal. To understand that personal relationship with God, to know what it is, I never knew. I never knew before. I just go about my daily life and do my thing. But that personal understanding, when He can talk to you, He talks to you in your sleep. He'll talk to you with that gut feeling. He'll talk to you about everything that you're doing all through your day. How much attention are you paying to that? We don't have much time. My time's up. I'm on overtime. You guys aren't. Some of yous might be. A lot of yous aren't. Pay attention to that, please. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you for your prayers, and don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit on us, because they're absolutely powerful.
20 years, I can hardly believe you made it.
I've been looking forward to hearing about what God has been doing, because I'd heard via the grapevine of the marvelous work in Ruth and Luther's heart that has been done. We've experienced the goodness of God just in the last 24 hours or so in our own family, and Les is going to come and talk a little bit about that.
I drive truck part-time. Yesterday I was hauling a load of fertilizer back to Grand Prairie from Edmonton, and about 5 miles north of Fox Creek, I'm not sure what happened, but I found myself in a ditch. I have no recollection. People that witnessed it said it felt something had happened to the steering linkage on the truck, because the way I veered in. But at any rate, I mowed a power line down, and I got hit in the head. And when I came to, I realized I was stopped, and I opened the door of the truck, and on the rearview mirror, there was a power line hanging this far away. It's a major power line and knocked the power out of the whole town of Fox Creek. And I knew it was a serious situation. I was prepared to just sit there until ATCO got the power shut off. But the amount of current going through the truck was starting on fire, and some of the tires started to blow. And so I knew I had to get out of there. And so I knew enough to stand on running boards and jump as far as I could and then hop like a bunny the rest of the way to avoid potential between your two legs from the amount of current you're dealing with there. And I just thank God for his goodness that here today, holding this guy, you can't outgive God. I realize when I look back that you can take that truck home with you now in a Safeway shopping bag. It's completely gone. And that I know who might believe it and persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
You know, I just want to give you a chance. Anyone else want to just talk about the goodness of God in their life in the last little while? I got plenty I could say, but I just think that I want to give you. Anybody want to? Yeah. It depends how. Well, we'll try this and see if we can get it without feedback. Go ahead, Barry, and we'll see. Test Glenn's skill.
Hello. I'm fairly new to this church, but I've been in this area for about 30 years, and I've always had a relationship with God, whether it be sometimes more than other times. And 6 years ago, after 30 years of marriage, my husband decided he didn't want to be with me anymore. So I went through ups and downs, and with my children's help, with their support, I got through the first 2 or 3 years. But then something happened to me physically that sent me into a tailspin, and I was not eating, not drinking, not having much to do with life. I'd shut myself off. Sorry. One day, I'd had one night of no sleep at all, and I was thinking of very scared, and I was thinking of ending my life because I was so frightened and scared and not able to live as a proper human being. And I went into the shower, and I knelt down and let the water run off me, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, please help me. Please help me, Lord. Because I don't want to leave my children and and all my friends, family, my life here, and please, please, if you're there, please help me. And I was crying for a long, long time, and then I sort of got so tired. I just went back to my bed. I dried myself off a bit, went back to bed, and I still couldn't sleep, but I just felt at peace by talking to the Lord. So shortly after that, to make a long story short, you know what I mean. Anyway, I was admitted to the Grand Prairie Hospital on the psychiatric ward, and I stayed there for about a week and a half, and I found some really good nurses to help me and guidance from group therapy and lots of other things that happened. Friends rallied around, and my children were awesome. My daughter, I just had to phone her, and she lives in Calgary. She came up as soon as she knew, and so I had that time then. And even after I came out from the hospital, I was still very, very frightened. I was frightened of life and just so scared. But now it's been like almost 6 years now, and it's probably been about three since all this happened. But the Lord has been, he's always been with me, but this time he was just, I love him so, so, so much. And I give thanks to every day that I'm still here. And I join this lovely congregation, and it just feels so right to be here. So thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm not a good public speaker, but I grew up going to church and everything, and I never knew what it was to have God speak to you until I had my second child. I had her long labor, it sucked, and I just fed her and I laid down to go to sleep. My husband went home, and I was laying there, and all of a sudden I hear, turn on the light, look at your kid, plain as day. And I was like, no, just fed her, she's good. And I didn't, and I laid there, and then all of a sudden, all the hair on my body stood up on end. And I said, turn on the light, look at your kid. And I'm like, okay, fine. And she stopped breathing in the time I fed her and I was laying down. So she's all blue, so I ran and took her in. They said, oh my goodness, she's been not breathing for a couple minutes. They suctioned her out. Thank God, she's fine. But it scared me because I said, up until that point, I never knew what it was to have God talk to you. And I said, it took twice. I was a little stubborn. But if I didn't listen, and all it took was turning on a light and looking at my child, I wouldn't have my daughter today. So believe me, listen to your gut instincts. And if they yell at you, really listen.
Amen. What else? Dale.
I'd like to just share a story about our family, and some of you know that we have another son, Nathan, and he grew up in this church, and he's a good kid. He's 23 years old now, but a few years ago, he was in a car accident, and he'd been working hard, and he come home late. I wasn't home. I was out of town. I think I was in Barrhead, my hometown, with my mom and brothers. But anyways, he'd come home, and he'd been working hard, and it was late. And he said to his mom that he was going out towards Beaver Lodge to a friend's cabin out there. And Brenda had a bad feeling about it right then. Something felt wrong. But anyways, he left, and as he got out there, it was getting dark, I guess, and he got lost. He'd been to the cabin times before, but he got lost. And he took a wrong road, and I think he was probably speeding. And he went off a curve, and he went through a Texas gate, and then he went over a ravine, and he mowed some trees down, and he ended up down in this ravine there all by himself. And we didn't know anything about it, but I think he probably laid there in this car for 3 or 4 hours. And he was close to a farmhouse, and finally he came to, and he somehow managed to get over to this house about 3 or 4 in the morning, and he knocked on the door, I guess, and somebody came to the door and gave him a ride, somehow took him to his friend's cabin. And we never knew about it till the next morning. They phoned and they told Brenda, and then she phoned me and told me about it. And she said he was okay. He'd been to the doctor and they'd been checked over and he was okay. So God is good. Brenda had prayed for him that night right after he left. She felt something was different and she prayed that he would, for his safety over him. And God was good. God was with him there in that time of need. When he was in that car all alone, because the windshield is smashed, the car was written right off, and he's alive. Yes. Thank you.
A few years ago, I went through a serious depression. I had gone through this in the past, and Val, when she mentioned about fear, kind of brought it to mind. As a kid, I was always encouraged to be happy and all that thing, but if I felt angry or sad or down, you weren't supposed to feel that way, so you kind of stuffed that and buried it. But at times in my life, this fear, and it's almost like the fear of the fear. I can remember a few years ago, there were days where I'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and walk up and down the Muscogee trails till 7 o'clock at night to work my way through the day. And it's like when these fearful feelings came, I didn't really know how to deal with it. So I was running for many, many years, and through attending a couple of Neil Anderson's seminars and finding out who I was in Christ, I found out that I could face those feelings. Like, I just determined that I would sit at the table and I'd focus on those affirmations. And after a time, I learned that my feelings would change for the better. And I kind of experienced, for the first time in my life, firsthand of experiencing I had a way to face and to deal with these fears. And since then, I've still had my ups and downs, but they haven't been near as hard as they were. And having a way to know that you can deal with it, sure, it's going to be tough for a while, but you know eventually those feelings will change. And I just thank God so much. And I give him all the credit. And like, I've been on a disability thing for 2 or 3 years now. And it was rough at first because we're always used to getting up and going to work the next day. But now that I look back on it, it was a time to kind of experience what retirement might be like. And I know people who know nothing but work who are scared to death of retirement. It also gave me time to grow in God and join more Bible study groups and time to spend more time at home. And now that I look at the whole thing, I really thank God for getting me off the merry-go-round, because I would have kept going till I ran right into the ground. And he made me stop and look, and I found him through that, and I just thank him so much.
This time last year, Alan was received a letter from Voice for Life, where I work, and he happened to ask for prayer and donations. We were about to close our doors. I got, I'm usually off for the summer, so I got a call in the middle of August saying, well, guess what? We won't have a job for you next year. We just can't do what we need to do. We don't have any funds. we haven't had much church support from other churches. This church has been fantastic. But we haven't had much church support in town, and we ended up with that donation letter about $20,000, which was really awesome. It got us through the year. As far as I know today, I'm still going back in the beginning of September, but it has been a very, very tough year, spiritually especially. The devil has really gotten a hold of my family, a few of my kids. Our son has now officially moved to Abbotsford, where we'll only see him twice a year. Our marriage, we just about separated and divorced. There's just so many things that have happened, and the funds keep going up and down, up and down. But in all of it, God has shown me what he wants from Voice for Life and the importance we have in this town, especially in a year that Morgan Teller, well, you know, that whole story, and it's been 20 years that we've had no legal restrictions on abortion. And I look around this church, and I see so many wonderful, beautiful babies and pregnant ladies, and this is just the church to be in, I tell you, in this job. But God has shown me throughout the year, even though there are struggles. My marriage is really solid right now. My children are starting to go the straight and narrow, I guess. And I just thank you for prayers and the donations and the requests that we've asked of you here. And God has just been awesome to Voice for Life.
Good morning. My name is Iris, and this is my husband, Jason, and he's been going here for a while, but I'm new to the area. I just moved here in January, so a lot of you won't really know me, but to me, life is a journey, and each of us has a different journey, and my journey, often when I talk to people, they think a 31-year-old doesn't usually go through as much as I have gone through. So I won't be able to share my whole story right now because we don't have that time. But I just want to share some of the milestones that have been true blessings. At the time, they didn't really feel like blessings. But when I look back now and the life that I have now, they've gotten me to where I am right now. And I am blessed. In 1998, I was at the University of Manitoba and just doing the university thing. I thought that I would finish my education, become a teacher, get married, have kids. I had it all planned, but God's plan was slightly different than that. I was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer after knowing in my heart that something was wrong for a year and doctors not listening. I finally just demanded that they do something, and they did, and they found that I had this very, very rare form of cancer that the only treatment that there is surgery. So we went in and had the surgery done. I was 21 at the time, and my plan was shattered, basically, with that one big C word, cancer. So for a number of years, I had a lot of ups and downs, just trying to come to terms with, does this mean my life is over or what's going on? The scares came back, that the cancer could have returned, and fear began to really control my life. When I graduated from university, I went to South America to teach at a missionary school for American and Canadian kids. And at that time, I met friends of mine who we still stay in close contact with, and they really helped me to realize that fear does not come from God and how to really tackle that. So doesn't mean that I've got that all figured out. It still creeps in because the devil wants that in my life, and I don't want that. It's not from God. So through all of this, that's something that I've been working through and working on, and still work on some days. During this time, I was also struggling with the fact that I was single and going on dates that just weren't working out and things like that. And I'd finally come to the conclusion that I was okay with this, and that that I was going to be single and that was okay, and it was fine. And then last summer, a friend of mine's dad said, "You should go on eHarmony." And I'm like, "There's no way I'm going on eHarmony." For those of you who don't know what eHarmony is, it's an online dating site where, pardon? Yes. So anyhow, now I know that it was God speaking to me. I went on the site kicking and screaming, and that's a whole nother story on how that all worked out. But within 24 hours, the two of us had met, and we were married in March. So now, through all those ups and downs and whatever, this is kind of where I'm at right now, and feel so incredibly blessed. And just to see the journey that I have been on, and then Jason's going to share a little bit of his journey and how our roads met and how blessed we are.
I've been going to the church since 01. Grew up in a Christian home, went my own way, lived worldly for a while, was in a non-Christian marriage. It failed. Infidelity in the marriage. So basically hit rock bottom when my wife at the time was unfaithful. So didn't know where to go. I remember Christ kind of picks you up when I was, growing up in the church and stuff. I remembered a few things. But so basically went back to church here and was kind of still sitting here lost, didn't know which way to go. But knew that I was in the right place. So basically, on my journey, it was either to go back to where I was or try to continue on the path of Christ. And since then, bless me in so many ways. Now, I'm going to fast forward a few years where things are going really well. And then, my nickname, Moose, I can actually tell how I got it now in church. So I was in a car accident, a motor vehicle accident, and don't hunt with the girl of your car. The moose landed on the roof of my car, landed on my head, and broke my C1 vertebrae in 3 spots. So I came here a couple of times with a big antenna on my head and stuff. And you don't really know until after the fact on what it could have been necessarily. Because of that football mentality, I don't get hurt. So I was fine, but how close you are to the numbers on a broken C1 are not in your favor, really. But I'm good. basically, I didn't know where to go from there, and frustration with the single life and not knowing where Christ is going to put me and direct me and all those type of things. And I wasn't lucky enough to get my money back on eHarmony. I was there for 9 months. but But we were hooked up on eHarmony. Hooked up? Well, that was right. But anyway, matched up on eHarmony, and it is a little bit awkward. Don't get me wrong. You don't necessarily, if you're single and going through that aspect, you don't necessarily meet the same as what you would on in a normal relationship starting out. But how blessed it was for a long-distance communication with letters, and my grammar got a lot better. My wife's a teacher. But with just how blessed we are and where life can go and where God can take you, and it can be a long road, but it's a blessing to get there. So, amen.
Well, we could go on about God's goodness. The thing is that God's goodness is all the time. And some of these stories we heard, they were happy all in the end. And other stories we heard, there's still struggle and battle, but God is good. There's a whole bunch of stuff we could say, but you can figure it out for yourself. See if you can fill in the outline, though. Let's pray. And Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. It's tasted in so many ways. Preservation of preborns, bringing families together through cancer, even using eHarmony. Father, your son taught us that only you are good. And only you can transform us to be good all of the time. We could do like the Pharisees and try to put rules up and regulations and restrict our actions and do things from discipline and duty, and we can do good often. But to be good all of the time, to not grow weary in doing good, to fulfill the good works that you've prepared for us to do in advance. We need the transforming work of your Holy Spirit to make us not good just in action, but to be transformed into your image and have the fruit of your goodness flow through us. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before you. Thank you for your goodness. We yield up our lives and ask that your goodness would flow through us.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Martyrs' blood stains each page. They have died for this faith. Hear them cry through the years. Heed these words and hold them dear. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's pray for the communion. Father, we thank you that you are good. And I'm thinking of the verse from the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think we've already tasted and we have seen how you are good in the testimonies that we've heard. And Lord, as we gather around this table, we our senses come to the forefront, for we taste the bread and the juice, and we are not only satisfied physically, but we are satisfied fully in you. And Lord, we see, our imaginations go back to the cross and the empty tomb that gives us celebration and wonder in our hearts that you would give your life for us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the cup. We thank you for the loaf that represents and is our experience now that you are with us and you're present, and that we look forward to the day when we share the bread and the cup with you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
you stand with us and celebrate again? Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Your blood, nothing but your blood, Lord Jesus. Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's love to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence. It's only by your blood. Your cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence. It's only by your blood.